So we're continuing in our trek through Romans, and so Romans 9, 10, and 11 are kind of like Paul kind of speaking to the Jewish part of the assembly in Rome, but he kind of shifts too, because then he starts to talk about the Gentiles as well. So this is kind of that transition. And you'll see in Romans 12, which was what we will be studying next week as we continue on, therefore. So in lieu of all the stuff that he lays out, chapter 12 starts with, therefore, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your pleasing act of worship for the Lord, right? And so here you kind of catch that transition in Romans 11. And one of the things that he's talking about is grace. Have you ever felt like God's grace was unfair? Not for that school shooter, he gets no grace. Not for that pedophile, he gets no grace. Not for that murderer, he gets no grace. Have you ever felt that God's grace was a little bit unfair? Those people should burn in hell. And you like to dish out punishment or maybe at least some condemnation or at least justice. There needs to be some kind of justice. What's with this grace and mercy? I know I'm kind of guilty at times. Maybe if you were honest with yourself, you would be too. Guilty at times, kind of like of suppression and concealment. Suppression and concealment, like you're at a party, man, I hope nobody asks me what I do for a living. A little bit of concealment, right? A little bit of suppression. I've shared this before, too. It's like being on the golf course and not knowing the people that you're playing with and kind of going, you know, you should be nice to me because I might not tell you about Jesus. I have a cure for what ails you, but I'm not going to tell you. I could pray for you, but I'm not going to. I could invite you to church. But I'm not gonna. A little suppression, a little concealment, a little bit of not offering some grace. Certainly you must have said, God, I don't know what's going on around here. It makes no sense to me. Anybody? Am I the only one who's ever questioned God with that? I have no clue what you're doing, Lord. I have no clue. I know you're sovereign. And it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. Listen, I know evil persists. I know evil persists in me. It's not fair sometimes. God does things the way he does. It's not fair. And Nivea, an oppression that you're very aware that God is not about fairness. God's not about fairness at all. He's about grace. He's about grace. And let me ask you personally, aren't you glad that God is about grace for you personally? Grace and mercy, they're great for me to receive. I mean, I deserve it after all, you know. I'm not as bad as that guy. Not that murderer, Moses. Well, not that adulterer, David. Certainly, you know, not that terrorist, Paul. I'll decide who gets grace treatment from God. Interesting. Did you realize that you had that much power? For your suppression and your concealment. The movement of the Holy Spirit that God has implanted in you. And then the flesh starts to just suppress and conceal. And God's unable to move. You're a problem. You're a problem in the kingdom of God. God has a plan. Can I get an amen to that one? He has a really good plan, but it doesn't always look fair. And it certainly doesn't look like something that you might manufacture and put together. And you really can't see it all either. Here's Elijah, right out of our scriptures. Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down all your altars. I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me too. What's God's answer? I've reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed down to Baal like that. So too at this present time, there is a remnant by grace, chosen by grace. You've been chosen by grace. Here's your first one for those that like take notes. There's a remnant plan. There's a remnant plan. Chosen by grace. His grace, not yours. His plans, not yours. His ways, not yours. His understanding, not yours. Does Israel have a place in God's world plan? Does Israel have a place in God's future plans? Did God reject his people? The scriptures would say by no means. Listen, with a UN resolution back in 1947, Israel gained its statehood in 1948. That's over 75 years ago. This confirmed a lot of belief that God was doing something with the Jewish people. And the tragedies of the conflict now in Iran and the Middle East raise all the questions again. Does Israel have a right to exist? Should it exist as a nation? Iran thought not. Is God done with the Jewish nation? Is the current Israeli conflict taking out evil? Or is the conflict perpetuating evil? The variations of what exactly that means will differ from nation to nation, and it will differ from household to household. Suffice to say this, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. God's got a plan. God will look out for the Jewish nation, and our scriptures are clear too. If you've been following along in Romans, not all Israel is Israel. Not all Israel is Israel. There's a distinction between the heritage Israel and the spiritual Israel. A distinction between the lineage Israel and the faith Israel. Not all Israelites are meant for the promise. God chose Isaac, not Ishmael. God chose Jacob, not Esau. Are you okay with that? Do you understand what that means as part of being a part of God's plan? See, you focus on God's kingdom and not on the kingdoms of the earth. You'll be much happier and much more peaceful. It's very difficult to see God's plan when you're looking at the evil of the world. And at the moment that Paul's writing this, he's very clearly saying that God is not done with Israel, that God has a plan. He has a remnant plan. He always allowed a remnant to remain. A remnant, a small minority of people who remained faithful to God. I've been in churches where a remnant remains. I began my pastorate in a church where there was only a small remnant. When I mean a small remnant, I mean three people. I mean a husband and a wife and someone who was taking care of the checkbook. That's a remnant. And then sat back and watched what God can do. Where two or more are gathered, he shall be in their midst. As people started to come to faith, get baptized, deepen their faith, begin to understand God's ways, ministries got rooted, ministers got raised up, ministries got sent out. See, here's your next slide. See, this often happens. What seems like the end is really just another beginning. What seems like an end is just another beginning. How do you view death? How do you view your own death? What often looks like an end is just another beginning. God has not rejected all the Jewish people. In fact, God has included the Jewish people in his plan all along. From Abraham and making him a great nation, the root, The great nation was to influence other nations and to point them to the one true God, to be an example. God has not rejected you either, even if you've stumbled along the way, even if you've faltered along the way. You are here this morning because the Lord has a word for you. You're here this morning because God has something to show you, something to teach you, something to reveal to you. Would you be open to receiving what God might have for you? Because what he's going to have for you is going to be very different from what he has for them. But you have to be open to receiving what God is going to say, what God is going to do, and how he's going to refresh your soul. God has a fresh word for you today, a new thing to behold, a new thought to consider. Maybe it challenges you in a new way. Amen to that. Just because the Israelites failed on many occasions doesn't mean that God had rejected them. No more than he rejects you when you make a mistake. Anybody ever make a mistake? If you say you've never made a mistake, you're mistaken. Right? And listen, God just doesn't throw you to the wolves. He's patient with you. Oh, another way that just God grinds at you, so patient and so graceful, his grace and his mercy towards you, like you are with your own children, so very patient, learning them to walk and to talk and to speak and eat for themselves. And how many times did they miss their mouth, and how many times did they fall down? How patient you were, how gracious you were, how merciful you were. And God is this way with his children, generation after generation after generation after generation. The scriptures also say this very clearly. There's a limited time. There's a limited time. God had a plan all along, even in the midst of their failure. God would orchestrate his plan. And listen, he would cut off some branches. He would cut off some branches. Israel had its time and it had a role to play. Now it's a different time. They have a different role to play. God has not completely wiped them away, but now it's a church time. Now it's the Gentiles have been grafted into those places where the branches have been cut off. You're part of that, church. You're part of that. You're part of that biblical fulfillment. You're part of what's going on in the scriptures that are revealing itself. You're the ones being grafted in. That's who you are. These are biblical times. God has flung open the gates of heaven, torn down the separation veil of the Holy of Holies, and offered himself to all. God could not be contained. God could not be stopped. The Lord sought the salvation of all mankind. Israel was dropping the ball. Paul is explaining that God is doing something new. God is opening up the way of salvation through Jesus Christ to include the Gentiles, where there will be one God, one covenant, one tree, one Savior for all. You have to remember, he's talking to a mixed group. He's got Jews and he's got Gentiles. And they're gathered together and he's trying to reel in the Gentiles but not cast out the Jewish nation. Those that would believe, those that would accept, those that would understand who the Christ is, who the Messiah is. He's trying to unify them again one more time. There'll be one God. There'll be one covenant. There'll be one tree. There'll be one Savior for all of mankind. And Israel was welcomed. This was wonderful, grace-filled news for some, for us. Those that accept the Christ, those that accept the Messiah. To others, stenched or trenched in their religious rituals, in their traditions, showing grace to those pagans? The Jewish nation showing grace to those people? Those heathens? Those outcasts? We're the chosen ones. God has loved us. Who are they? But those are the ones that are rejected. God was moving through the Jewish people to bring all people in. Some rejected. God would never grant grace to someone like that, those pagan Gentiles. They're not of the Jewish heritage. They're not of the Jewish lineage. To others, it just seemed absurd to even begin to think that God would do such a thing. You might not, but God would. You might not, but God did. And Paul's not saying that God is kicking the Jews away. Paul himself is a testimony. Paul himself is a Jew, a Pharisee. Paul himself, one of the more enthusiastic. He's saying, I'm living proof that God is not kicking us away, that he's dealing with the Jewish people, that he's working in people's lives. He's working in my life. He's working in me to try to speak to you and to the Gentiles and to the good news of the Christ and what he has done for all mankind. Paul discusses Elijah. God has not abandoned him either. Even when Elijah thought he was alone, God was at work in others. Here's your next slide. God is at work around us all the time. God is always at work fulfilling his plan. God has a plan. You don't always see it, and you certainly won't always like it. But Paul was writing this. This many Jews were coming to the Lord. Jews were coming to accept the Christ and the Messiah. There were many who were not. And it's easy to become cynical about God's ways. It's easy to become like sad and depressed. You have a pity party for yourself. I don't understand what you're doing, God, and I'm just going to boycott you. Just look around the world. You can see it in turmoil and conflict and war. Things can seem out of control and chaotic and violent. But God is in control. God is sovereign. God will work out his plan. God is showing grace. God is exercising his patience while the earth groans, while the earth decimates itself, while evil continues to perpetrate evil. See, the wheat grows with the tares. And the rain falls on the just and the unjust. While evil is still found in men's hearts, while demons still try to trick men's minds, God is working out his plan. God is fulfilling God's plan. And I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experiencing a hardening in part until the number of Gentiles has come in. God wanted some Gentiles to be included in Savior of the world. God wanted some Gentiles to be included in to Savior for Jews only. He's the God of all mankind. And God was working out his plan through Israel instead of leading the Jews into a deeper relationship with him and a light unto the world. It led the Jewish people into pride. It led them into arrogance. They became gatekeepers. They were suppression and concealment. Suppression and concealment to their downfall. They became an exclusive country club instead of inclusive fellowship. Again, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgressions, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Because they faltered, Gentiles will now be open to come in. I'm talking to you, Gentiles. So now he's making a switch in the way in which he is writing. I'm talking to you, Gentiles. Insomuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, Paul was the leading apostle to try to preach to the Gentiles, I take pride in my ministry. In the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people and save some of them. So he's not just for the Gentiles. He's explaining to the Jews as well. There is one way, one truth, one mankind. And there's your next one. It's a remnant paradox. Don't let the same thing happen to you that happened to them. New Life Alliance, do not become an exclusive kind of country club. Don't let New Life Alliance become one of those places where only the proper people could attend. People with the proper clothes and those with the right haircuts. Let's not be that. You know why? You know why? Because there are no proper people. There are no proper people. Let this place be a place where the misfits fit. Where people get dogged on and prayed for. They feel like they belong to a family. There's the love of Christ. Now listen, I know they may look funny. I know they may smell funny at times. I know may they talk weird and act weird and don't vote like you, don't eat like you, don't dress like you. They don't do anything like you. But there are people. There are people. Could you become Christ-like and extend grace? The grace that you so richly enjoy, because you're not all that proper either. Could you take it, absorb it into your soul, and go, hey, I think I'm supposed to learn grace from God that I might give it away. Has anyone ever learned from the mistakes of others? All right, we talked about, have you ever made a mistake? People make mistakes. Have you ever learned? I hope you can, because once you start to gain an understanding of learning from the mistakes of others, it kind of is a sign of maturity. I had to learn from my own misfortunes. See, some people have to walk down the road of drugs to realize, I don't think I like this road anymore. Some people have to walk down the road of anger and stubbornness and pride and to realize, this isn't getting me anywhere. Some people have to walk down the road of alcohol to come to a place of realization, this is not the way, this is not the road I want to walk on. Some people are capable of learning from others' mistakes. Some people have to make the mistake to learn. Some people you can just say, don't touch the stove, and they won't touch the stove. But I promise you, there's going to be some kids that are going to want to touch the stove. They have to learn in many ways for themselves. It was the Jewish people's rejection that would lead God to opening the way to the Gentiles. Opening the door of salvation was always part of God's plans. While things seemed completely random, and not everyone followed the instructions, there was always, always, they were in capable hands. You are always in capable hands. And it may seem ridiculous to you right now. It may even seem random. It may seem like you're suffering misfortune and hardship and trouble and calamities and worry and fear and all the things that are going on in the world that you bring into your own household, and then you struggle in your own finances and your own emotional stability, and it can seem like things are way out of control. Is God out of control? If you feel far from God, guess who moved? Life, though, can seem like a paradox at times. Scriptures can even seem that way. If God is so good, hear the question, why are things so bad? God works in ways that really confound us. And you really have to have the Holy Spirit of God to be able to kind of catch a glimpse of what God is up to. The first shall be last. What? You want to wrap your mind around that a little bit? Spend some time in a Bible study on that one? You must die to live. What? Excuse me? What? To give is to gain. How is that? What? Can you outgive God? See, and you think money. I think grace. I think mercy. I think forgiveness. Can you outgive God and His grace? Can you outgive God and His mercy? Can you outgive God and His love and His compassion and His See, that's our trick on our own mind. That's why we're so stuck in this world. We don't think like God. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come, all you are heavy laden. Yet the road that leads is narrow and hard. Let your light shine before all mankind, but be careful not to flaunt your righteousness in front of others to be seen by. Come on, God! Give to the one who asks of you. Got it. But don't throw your pearls before swine. Okay, which is it? God? What? What do you see? Here's your next slide. The mystery of God is profound. Listen, and I wanted to write this. It's personal. It's personal. God desires a personal relationship with you. He includes you into unity and part of the body of Christ. But you are unique to the world. There's no one else like you on the planet. And the relationship that you have with God is very uniquely yours. And you have mystery to uncover, mystery to discover. It do us well to understand scriptures. It do us well to understand context and how God has dealt with that murderer Moses, that adulterer David, that terrorist Paul, so that you might learn and understand how he deals with you. And yet, even when our limited understanding, we are really incapable of complete understanding. For now we know in part, but then we shall know in full. Yet still we follow. Still we believe. Still we have faith. Still we try to work that personal relationship with the Lord in our own lives. Now, as Paul's writing, we have to realize that the sanctuaries or the synagogues are getting full. They're getting full of Gentiles. The Jewish people built the synagogues, and now, what are all these pagan Gentiles doing in here? They're coming by faith. They're coming to accept the Lord. They're coming to accept the Messiah. And Paul's got a big, right? He's got a big responsibility to try to show what God is doing. And as the Gentiles became more predominant in attendance, guess what they did? They started to persecute the Jewish people. They were beginning to act like the people began to act like they think they know it all. Superior. You're so holier than thou. They were walking in their pridefulness and began to walk in their arrogance. And then even began to look down upon the Jewish people. See, Paul's vision for the church is so much more broad. It's inclusive of both Jews and Gentiles. Paul would envision a congregation where all would be united in love and they would pride itself over others. Christian love's not puffed up in its superiority. Christian love opens its doors and invites in the misfit. Christian love offers forgiveness. It offers grace. It offers mercy. Christian love does not harbor anger, resentment, bitterness, or hatred. Christian love, there's no room for prejudice. Christian love, though, will discipline. It will encourage. It will challenge you in your ways and your thought processes. And Christian love will love. And if we're to walk that narrow road with Christ, our lives being a living testimony for God, we're going to have to eliminate some of our prideful behaviors as if we know it all. Here's your next slide. See, they will know, maybe you know it as a song. They will know we are Christians by our doctrine. They'll know we are Christians by our bumper stickers and our bumper stickers and they'll know we are Christians because I can quote a scripture. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Particularly those that are struggling in worry and fear. They need some grace. They need some mercy. They need the power of God in their lives. And often God, in his infinite sovereignty, gives you the Holy Spirit. He gives you himself that you might bear witness. The you're at the right place at the right time to be that encouragement, to be that love, to be that hope. I don't know why God wants to do that. I don't know why he's chosen to use people that believe in him and are filled with the Holy Spirit to reach the world. I know you. I don't know why he's chosen you. But he had grace on you. He had mercy on you. He had compassion on you. And he filled you with himself. And you stand in your faith, not in your works. You stand in your faith, not in your religious preferences. You stand in your faith, not in your heritage. You stand in your faith, not in your pride. You stand in your faith, not your education. You stand in your faith, not your social status. You stand in your faith, not even your culture. This is a Western Hemisphere American mindset that doesn't fit in Australia. That doesn't fit in Central Africa. God is bigger, so much bigger. Let him speak to you and into your heart and to the very depths of your soul that you might begin to understand the love and grace for all mankind. I do not pretend to understand it all, yet I believe he does. I yield to the fact that he does. I do not know why God does what he does, but I trust him. I trust that when you say, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that you've got the Holy Spirit of God, and you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit of God, and you look into the scriptures, and then you're able to decipher what God wants to do with you. So uniquely you, that only you can do. That's his plan. That's his choice. And he's chosen you. I'm blindly walking into the future with the light of Christ shining on me and through me. That's pretty much all I know. I have no idea what's going to happen, and I love it. I'm a walking paradox, an enigma walking in reality, believing in an impossibility. I'm my own kind of paradox in that consistently I am inconsistent. It's just like my golf game. The only thing I'm consistent at is being inconsistent. There's a golfer. Listen, I can even envision the shot. I'm a great visionary, but execution lacks. Seeing that which he believes and never believing that which he sees. Oh, there it goes. I can't believe it. In the water again. I get it, Lord. We're not of this world. What you are doing in this world, you, is preparation for the next. Believe that? What you're doing in this world is preparation for the next. You know, and while you're pampering yourself and prettying your hair and shaving your legs and doing all the beautiful things, you don't get to take this body with you. You don't get to take it with you. How about some primping and propping and, you know, trimming up the soul? How about some character development? How about understanding what God has designed for you to do and to accomplish? What you're doing in time, right now, in this time, is all a preparation for when there is no more time. God has paved the way for mankind. There is no Jew. There is no Gentile. It's just people. It's always been people. It's always been about people. And many of us need to redirect and reprogram and rethink and regenerate and regrow. Some of us need a rebirth and get refreshed again in the joy of your salvation. You've been grafted in, Gentiles. But listen, God cut off branches, grafted in new ones. And you do not support the root, but the root supports the Gentiles. That's the Jewish remnant. Not heritage, not works, not culture, not lineage, faith. Faith of Abraham. Gentiles, you will say, oh, well, branches were cut off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, but there were branches that were cut off because of their unbelief. You stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but tremble. For if God did not spare the natural branches, the Jewish people, he will not spare you either. Consider, therefore, the kindness and the sternness of God. Talk about a mystery. We love to praise God. God's so full of grace and so full of love, and I love the Lord. Oh, man, he's just so good to me. And then he challenges you on some of the ways in which you think. Consider, therefore, the kindness and the sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell. Cut them off. Kindness to you. Amen, if you're a Gentile believer. Amen. But continue in his faith. Continue in that kindness. Otherwise, you'll be cut off. That's the apostle laying it out. That's a strong warning to the Gentiles. God cut off the Jewish people for unbeliever. You better watch your step. Kind and stern. May I suggest to you that you get right with God now. They call this the doxology, right? Oh, the depths and the riches of his wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. There's your next one. It's a remnant praise. Now listen, I do have a confession. It's good from time to time that you recognize I publicly confess some things to you, so maybe you won't hold it against me. But I do bring it before you. I admit it. I watch the Hallmark Channel. And by the way, great movie Wednesday night. Everyone who came out, awesome time. Appreciate that. We'll do it again soon. Great movie. So I'll watch the Hallmark Christmas movies. I have to admit it. And then I'll watch some of the mystery ones. I like the mystery ones, right? I'll Chronicle Mysteries and Ruby Herring and all that kind of stuff. And I like Sherlock Holmes. I'll watch Sherlock Holmes because I like the mystery kind of stuff. I like to solve the problems. Maybe that's a guy thing. You know, he's got to fix it. Got to fix it, right? Who done it? I like to figure out the clues and who did it. Yet, in this scripture, there's a lot of questions, and there's really not any answer. There's nothing to figure out. There's no mystery behind the question. You know that God gives you the Holy Spirit of God that you might have the mind of Christ so that you might know. Countless scriptures. You can't even begin to understand God without the Holy Spirit of God. You need the Holy Spirit of God to begin to understand the mind of Christ. And who has ever been God's counselor? Well, I've been there. God, what I think you need to do. God, what I think you should probably do. God, what I'm looking for you to do. Anybody ever counseled God like that? Or have you ever lent anything to God that he should repay you? You think God owes you something? Paul's asking these questions, but he's really not looking for any answers. He's really making a point. God is a mystery and we can't figure him out. God is sovereign and we can't bend him to our wills and our plans. This is frustrating for some. It's liberating for others. Which is it for you? God has a plan, and it can look like it's conflicting. It can look contradictory. It can look paradoxical. And he creates for his purposes, not yours. He cuts off branches for his purposes, not yours. He grafts others in for his purposes, not yours. And he does this for his pleasure. And at his pleasure, did you ever know that you are the pleasure of God? You are the pleasure of God. the apple of his eye. See, God is not mad at you. God is mad about you. This is why he included you. Here's your last slide. Here's the thing. He is God and you are not. You are made in the image of God. God is not made in the image of you. We have to arrive at this place that it's okay that you don't understand everything about God. I don't understand or like all the ways of God. I want to inflict pain. He says, mercy. I have to change my ways. I don't understand all of God's ways. I think it's not fair. It's not fair. It's not fair. God's not in the fairness. I don't like it. But he's up to something. And I trust him and what he's doing. I know people that will not believe because they don't understand everything about God. Until they understand everything, but they won't put any effort into understanding anything. I think if you understood everything, then you might be equal to God. And you're not God. Though many like to think that they're own little gods. There's a mystery that cannot be solved in this life, but I am comforted that he is good, he is holy, and he is loving. And I have praise for our God, and that nothing he does is without purpose. Even if I don't understand it, God is in complete control. And there really is nothing left for me to do but to praise him, to honor him, to glorify him, to put my faith in him, to trust him, and to believe in him, to read his word, to be comforted by him, to recognize that the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within me will take care of my soul. That's the God I know. That's the Holy Spirit of God that's working within you. Let me pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this opportunity. Just be here together, unified as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I pray you pour out your spirit upon each and every one of us. Father, that we would sense the love of Christ, that we would be renewed and refreshed and reborn, that we would come to know you in a very intimate way. And Father, we would come to know you in a very unique, special way that is uniquely us and uniquely ours. Father, in this place, these moments, oftentimes the world is filled with fear and worry and doubt, and may we look beyond this world. May we look to the peace that transcends this worldly understanding. And may we walk in your comfort, in your peace, in your tranquility. Father, grant us the serenity that only you can give. And we will walk with confidence and boldness. And we will speak the love of Christ and the grace and the mercy that he has given upon us. We desire to honor you and serve you. We come before you unified as the body of Christ. And in his name we would pray, amen. God bless you guys.